this morning. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Pierre. Good morning, everybody. It's a tremendous joy to be all together, so many churches coming, as Pierre said, with one purpose, and that is to lift up his name. And isn't our Jesus amazing? Isn't he awesome? It's a great joy to share God's word any day, but what a day this is to be able to come and together journey towards the cross and be reminded of who he is and what he's done for us, and this incredible day, this weekend of celebration that we can live because he gave his life for us. Amen. I don't know what you felt this morning, but as we worshiped, and what a beautiful time of just singing to the Lord, but personally for me, as we worshiped, I was quite overwhelmed. I felt quite undone, actually. I felt quite emotional at the thought that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Majestic One, the Creator of all, chose to get off his throne and come to an earth that actually had rejected him. But the Bible says he took on the very nature of a servant, made himself nothing, and went to the cross to die for me. And I felt overwhelmed and undone by the thought that I'm not worthy of that, but yet Jesus counted me worthy because he loves me. And I feel this morning as we come before him to be reminded of how magnificent he is and how amazing he is, but how much he loves us. And I think that the story of the cross has so many facets and aspects to it, but here's the thing that stands out for me. The cross of Jesus Christ, I believe, is a declaration of just how much God loves you and how much he longs to welcome you home into his heart. Amen. And I want to begin this morning, and just, I'm only going to share for a little while, but I want to begin to read this morning to you a scripture from the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Feel free just to listen as we go along. And here again, a declaration of what God has done for us through the person of Jesus. Reading from Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm going to look at the NIV translation. It says this: "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us who lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following the desires and the thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath." But here's the thing that stood out for me. "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace," can you say that? "It is by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. It is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works that no one can boast, for we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do." Amen. And as I've been journeying over the last few days towards this wonderful Easter weekend, I was reminded as Jesus approached the cross and had the Last Supper with his disciples, and it's in the different Gospels, and Paul quotes it in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, that on the night that he was betrayed, the Bible says that Jesus took bread and he broke it and he gave thanks. And he said, "This is my body broken for you." And he ate the bread and he gave thanks to God. And then he said, he took the cup and he drank of the wine. He said, "This is my blood that is shed for the forgiveness of my sins." And then he said this: "Whenever you drink of this cup and eat of this bread, do it in remembrance of me." And so we're gathered here together this morning for many reasons and many purposes, but I believe the primary to why we're here is because we have an opportunity together to remember what he did for us, to remember and say thank you, to remember and come and worship him, to remember and say, "God, you are absolutely amazing. I just want to give you my life." And this last week, as I prepared for this weekend, I read through in the different Gospels the journey that Jesus went as he approached the cross, the days leading up to the crucifixion of Christ. And I remembered the moment when the woman came and she broke the alabaster jar of perfume on Jesus' feet and offered extravagant worship to the Lord that people didn't understand. But yet this was her way of saying, "You're worthy. That's what I want to give." And I said to the Lord, "God, I want to be a man who brings extravagant worship and gratitude to my King Jesus." I remembered the Last Supper and Jesus standing before his disciples. And the Bible says he took off his outer garment and he got down and he got a basin of water and he began to wash the feet of his disciples. And they didn't understand this at first, but this was not only a practical demonstration. It was a declaration and demonstration of his love that he was about to go to the cross and make himself nothing in order that they might live. I remembered the Garden of Gethsemane. And I read of how Jesus went to the garden, and the Bible says that he was in anguish and broken at the thought that though he was totally God, but yet he was totally man, knowing that he was going to go through the most excruciating pain and death. And he was saying, Father, if this cup can be taken from me, but not my will be done, your will be done. And it struck my heart and reminded me of God's passion, even for my life, despite the mistakes that we all make, that God was willing to go to the cross on my behalf. Because the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. What could he see through the cross? He could see you and he could see me. And he said, it's worth it. I was reminded of Jesus being arrested and taken to trial and falsely accused, and a man who was innocent, but yet the Bible says that he didn't even respond in anger. He was willing to go where the Father would want him to go. I was reminded of the floggings and the beatings that Jesus received. And the Bible says in the book of Isaiah that because of those stripes, we are healed. Amen. And then I was reminded as I read the story of Jesus going to the cross and dying for me and saying, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And he declared tetelestai, which I'll share more in a moment about, it is finished. I was reminded of Jesus dying, but I was also reminded that that was not the end of the story. That in 3 days' time, we as the body of Christ will celebrate, because not even death could hold my Jesus down. Hallelujah. 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 And so this morning, we have an opportunity to remember. We have an opportunity to remember who he is and what he's done for us. And I don't know about you, but my response is quite simply, God, you gave it all for me. All I want to do is give it all for you. And so we have a chance this morning to come, and in a moment we're going to have communion, and once again say, God, I want to offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. I love you, Lord, and I want to live for you for the rest of my life. And so we have a chance to remember what he did. But as I prayed for this morning, I felt the Lord spoke into my heart and says, we mark, today is not just about remembering what I did. Today is an opportunity to remember why I did it. And I began to think more at this question of why, this question of the cross. And I don't know about you, but when I think about the cross, for me, the first thought that I think about when I think about the cross is the cross of Jesus Christ is a demonstration, a statement, a declaration of God's love for all of humanity. And we've read that this morning, that the Bible says, because of his great love, God died in the person of Jesus for us, even while we were sinners. He died for us. Why? Because he loves us and he desires to welcome us home into his heart. Amen. John 15, I think it's on the screen. Jesus talking to his disciples, and he says, there is no greater love that any man could have than to lay down his life for his friends. So the why behind the cross, why did he do this? There's so much we could say, but the why behind the cross is because there is no greater love that any man could have than to lay down his life for his friend. I want to say to you this morning, you're not an orphan, you're not a slave, you are a friend of God, that he laid his life down for you. Can you say amen to that? Amen. But I believe that the cross is not just a demonstration of his love. I believe the cross of Jesus is an invitation into his love. Let me explain that. When Jesus went to the cross, there were multiple things that took place. But as he neared the end of his life, the Bible says that he took his final breath and he declared, "It is finished." And if you've done a little bit of study, you would know that this word, "it is finished," is the Greek word that you may have heard before. And that word is tetelestai. And as you study this word, you will come to understand that this word tetelestai has multiple meanings. And the first meaning that this word tetelestai has is the meaning paid in full. And if you go back in time and understand how things used to work, like back in the day, if somebody had an outstanding account, like a bond or a mortgage on your house, and you owed money to someone, when that account was settled, they would come and they would literally bring a stamp, and they would stamp on that piece of paper, tetelestai. In other words, no longer is there a debt outstanding. You see, when Jesus died on the cross and declared tetelestai, what was he saying? No longer are you a sinner in my eyes. I have completed. I have done it. I have defeated sin. I've destroyed death. You are free to live with me and for me. And as I was even praying for us, I just felt like the Lord said to me and impressed on my heart that so many people in this day, they know in their heads that they're forgiven, but they're walking around carrying a sense of guilt and a sense of shame. And I feel like as we come to the cross this morning, God wants to forgive you and God wants to celebrate you and God wants to set you free, that no longer would you be bound by the past, but that you'd be born again into the life of the Spirit. The Bible says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so there's this aspect of the cross that says paid in full, but also there's this aspect that is translated into our language, it is finished. Jesus declared it is finished. So my question for you this morning is, what is finished? What is finished? What is over? What has been completed? Well, hear what Jesus said in the Gospels. He said, when you drink of this cup and you eat of this bread, you drink of the cup of the new covenant. What is finished? He was declaring that the old covenant is finished. The new covenant has been born. And the old covenant was characterized by being in right standing with God based on what you did. Jesus declared, I'm now ushering in the covenant of grace, that you are in relationship with me, not because of what you've done, but because of what I have done. Amen. That should get you excited this morning. And so Ephesians says that. He says, you have been saved by grace, not of your own works, lest any man should boast. It is a gift of God. And God comes to you declaring, tetelestai, you're no longer a sinner. You are saved by grace. It is finished. It is over. You have full access to come into my presence as a child of the living God. But while he was dying, and we sang it this morning in that beautiful, I think, last song, something else happened on the cross. Do you know what it was? The Bible says that the veil, this thick curtain that separated the presence of God, the Holy of Holies in the Old Testament from the outer courts, the veil that kept everyone in a sense in a distant relationship to God, that veil was torn from top to bottom, from heaven to earth. What was Jesus declaring? No longer do you need to stand on the outside, but you're welcome to come into my presence. And so the cross is an expression of his love. But the cross of Jesus Christ is an invitation. I believe it is a doorway back into the Father's heart. It is finished. He's done it all. No longer do we have to be on the outside. We're welcome to come into his presence. And I believe, friends, that that's the good news of the gospel. That we're not worthy, but he's made us worthy. He died on the cross that we might be forgiven, we might be set free, we might be welcomed home into his heart. Amen. End of last year, the Father really made this clear to me, and something had happened. I get to travel a little bit and spend time in different cities and churches and around the world and so on. And I was on my way to, I did a weekend actually in Germany. And we live out in Amanus, and I was driving through Somerset West to get to the airport. And as I was driving through Somerset West, I was actually in the passenger seat, and someone was giving me a lift to the airport. And I looked out the window and I saw on the side of a building, which to this day I haven't been able to find again, but there it was. I looked out the window and I saw on the side of a building, in massive letters, two words, welcome home. And you know, sometimes you read something and you go, oh, that's nice. Sometimes you read something and you feel like, oh, Holy Spirit, are you trying to say something to me? Does that make sense? And I read these words, welcome home, and I think about it for a moment and carry on driving and kind of forget about it and get on the plane and I fly over to Germany and arrived in a city called Düsseldorf, and I spend a night in a hotel there, and the next morning I go down to have breakfast in the restaurant or whatever it is, and I sit down at the table and look at the menu, whatever it is, and realize actually I have to get up and go and help myself from the buffet, and I pick up my plate, and as I pick up my plate, I see there's a placemat underneath the plate, and I read on the placemat in large letters three simple words, come as you are. Come as you are. And as I think about this, I'm like, whoa, what, God, what are you saying to me? What did you say yesterday? Welcome home, come as you are. And as I'm sitting there having my breakfast, I feel like the Holy Spirit impresses on my heart. Mark, that is my heart towards humanity. All I want is, I'm a father who longs to welcome home his kids. All I want is to welcome you home into my heart. And you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to get it right. Come as you are. You are welcome in my heart. You see, here's the thing. This gospel of Jesus is a story of redemption. It's a story of grace. It's a story of acceptance. No one person in this room is worthy of what he's done. We don't come with all our badges and our accolades. We come and we go, God, I don't know what to give you, but you can have my whole life. And what does he do? He stands with his arms wide open and he says, son, come on home. I love you so much. And I feel like God, this morning, this weekend, what's on my heart for us together today, there's so much I could talk about forgiveness and grace and all these amazing things, the things that he did at the cross. But here's the message. I feel like the cross, and I feel like the Father wants to release over us today. He's saying, my child, I've done it all. All I want is for you to come home into my heart. And when the love of God through the cross of Jesus Christ touches a person's life, how many of you know it changes everything? One more story, if you will permit me. A couple of weeks back, I was in Cape Town in the city center, and I went to see a friend of mine, and I had a meeting there, and I went through, and I drove into the city center, and I parked my car, and as I parked my car, I got out the car, and a gentleman came to me, and obviously, he wanted me to pay for the parking, and I had a conversation. I introduced myself to him. I found that his name was Wilfred, and we had a little chat, and I said, I don't know how long I'm going to be, and he said, it's fine. When you come back, you can pay, and I went, and I had my meeting, and I came back. And I found Wilfred, and as I had this moment with Wilfred, I was about to pay him, I just felt the overwhelming love of God in my heart for this man. And I'm like, wow, what do I do now? And I said, Wilfred, and this came out of my mouth. I said, Wilfred, I don't know if you believe in God, and I don't know what you believe in God, about God. But I said, Wilfred, I just want you to know right now that God loves you, and he wants to be a father to you. And I ministered to this man for maybe 10, 15 seconds. And I didn't have much to say, and none of my words were particularly clever. But I just felt the overwhelming love of the Father wanting to touch this man. And I shared that with him. Well, it was like heaven fell on earth in that moment. Wilfred was almost unable to stand in that moment. I said, Wilfred, would you mind if I pray for you? He said, I'd love that. And I put my hand on his shoulder, and I prayed that God would make his love known to this man. I paid him the money and got in the car, and for the next 2 or 3 minutes, I was absolutely wrecked. I'm like, oh, Jesus, what did you just do? How amazing. Eventually managed to drive out, and I drove down the road, maybe 20, 30 meters, and I happened to look out the window as I was driving, and there was Wilfred standing on the corner of the road with tissues or a handkerchief or whatever was in his hand, and Wilfred was sobbing on the corner of the street. What happened? I don't know, but what I do know is when God's love touches a person's life, it changes everything. And maybe in that moment, he just needed to know that he was known, that he was loved, that he was not judged, he was not condemned. He was welcomed into the heart of the Father. And friends, this morning, that's really all I want to say to you. Is that simple? Forgive me. Probably short. I don't know. I haven't shared too much with you. But here's the thing, is that this cross of Jesus Christ is so many things, but above all, God is saying, this is my declaration, my statement, that you are amazing. I love you. I want to know you. And so this morning, we are going to have communion. And we have an opportunity to go back to the cross, to the broken body of Jesus, to the blood of Christ. And this is not just a tradition that we do, as beautiful as it is. This is powerful, because in the cross of Jesus Christ is healing, is forgiveness of sins, it's freedom, it's everything that heaven has pouring out through a man and into your life. We have an opportunity to come and say thank you. But maybe we have an opportunity this morning to let his love fill our hearts. Maybe today we have a chance to make right with God. And I don't know 99% of you this morning. I have no idea who you are. I have no idea where you're at with Jesus. But what I do know is in heaven, you are loved and you're known. What I do know is that you are here, not by accident or by chance. Someone might have invited you. No, God has an appointment with me this morning, and he has an appointment with you. And that appointment is to welcome us home into his heart and his love. And if you don't yet know that love, my friend, I want to say to you, all you need to do is say, Jesus, I would like to begin a journey of getting to know who you really are. Or maybe you've been in church for years, and maybe you've done the Christian thing and ticked the boxes and all those cool things, but you're sitting listening to what I'm sharing and this beautiful service that we have this morning, and you're saying, I know him, I know about him, I do the Christian thing, but there's something deep down in my heart that says, God, there's got to be more. I want to tell you this morning, there is more. It's called Jesus. It's him, and it's his love. And so as we have communion together this morning, we have a chance to really stop and remember what he's done. But more than that, we have a chance to remember why he did it. He did it because he loves you. Oh, you know how many mistakes I've made? Do you know how many regrets I have? But Jesus accepts me the way I am. He doesn't leave me the way I am, because he wants to change me and transform me into the image of his son and give me life and new life. So I'm going to ask if we can prepare our hearts, and perhaps the leaders, I don't know how we're going to all get up in a moment. Piers, is that right? And people are going to help themselves to communion. But what we're going to do now is I've prepared just a short video. It's actually not a video, it's just a slide with a song that's going to play with the words on. And I want you to take a moment as this plays to stop and pause and remember and reflect and take a moment to say, God, I want to come afresh and lay my life down before you. And as you do that and as you have that moment with Jesus, when you're ready, feel free to stand up and go to one of the stations in the room this morning and go and enjoy communion, perhaps on your own or with somebody, but pray and devote your life once again to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Can everybody say amen to that? All right, I'm going to pray. And guys, if you can put that on, that beginning of that song, that'd be amazing. Let's all close our eyes for a moment and just take a moment before we enjoy the song and go and have communion together. Let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, we take this moment this morning. We reflect, we remember who you are and what you've done for us. Lord, I'm overwhelmed this morning by your great love for me. Your great love for all of humanity. That, Lord, you were prepared, Jesus, to get off your throne, the place of perfection, and come to an earth that actually had rejected you, but yet you took on the nature of a servant. And you came and laid down your life that I would not have to die, but I and we together could live. And, Lord, in this moment, we come and we offer our lives to you. And I want to urge you this morning, wherever you are in relation to God, maybe you don't know him, maybe you kind of do, maybe you're passionate about Jesus, glory to God, hallelujah. But you have a chance this morning right now just to say, Jesus, if you really are that good, would you come into my heart? And he'll come and he'll wash you and he'll cleanse you and he'll set you free and he'll begin to give you the rest of your life. So Jesus, we give you our hearts this morning. We give you our lives and we honor you. In Jesus' name. Let's just take a couple of seconds just to enjoy this song. And when you're ready, feel free to get up and go and enjoy the communion around. And then Pierre will take us towards the end of our gathering this morning.
As we go about our communion, may I just ask that spouses, moms and dads, if you guys can just share, because of the capacity of the crowd this morning, we're just not sure that there's enough for a single serving for everyone. So let's share the juice and the wine and the bread together this morning as we take communion. Thank you.